foundation. Ye saints of the Lord, it is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have led.
Welcome to the Covenant and the Cross, a survey of the Old and New Testaments. The Bible commands us to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Our goal is to help you understand the Bible better so that you can apply it to your life. Before we begin, I'd like to inform you of our special offer. If you enjoy this podcast, please feel free to purchase a copy of the book we are using, The Promise and the Blessing, by Dr. Michael A. Harbin. The book is available on our website for just $20. You can make your purchase today at covenantandcrosspodcast.com. Now here's your host, Daniel White III, the President of Gospel Light Society and Torch Ministries International.
Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, welcome to the Covenant and the Cross podcast. This is episode number 124. I am your host, Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International. We always, of course, like to start out with the reading of the Word of God itself. And today's passage of Holy Scripture is from Joshua chapter 8, verses 15 through 17, which reads, "And Joshua and all Israel made as if they were beaten before them, and fled by the way of the wilderness. And all the people that were in Ai were called together to pursue after them, and they pursued after Joshua, and were drawn away from the city, and there was not a man left in Ai or Bethel that went not out after Israel, and they left the city open and pursued after Israel." Now, regarding this passage, Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown wrote in their commentary, "The pretended flight in the direction of the wilderness, that is, southeast into the Gor, the desert valley of the Jordan, decoyed all the inhabitants of Ai out of the city, while the people of Bethel hastened to participate in the expected victory. It is supposed by some from the city and not cities being spoken of that the effective force of Bethel had been concentrated in Ai, as the two places were closely contiguous and Ai the larger of the two. It may be remarked, however, that the words or Bethel are not in the Septuagint and are rejected by some eminent scholars as an interpolation not found in the most ancient manuscripts." Now, that's according to Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown, and they have not always been correct. Today's quote about the Bible is from Dr. A.W. Tozer, who said, "The Word of God, well understood and religiously obeyed, is the shortest route to spiritual perfection and certainly peace and joy." And we must not select a few favorite passages to the exclusion of others. Nothing less than a whole Bible can make a whole Christian. Our topic for today is titled, "Give Us a King, like the rest of the nations, part 1, from the book The Promise and the Blessing by Dr. Michael A. Harbin. After a prolonged period of foreign oppression, the Israelites concluded that they needed a king to resolve their national security problems. Samuel, the last judge, anointed Saul as the first king. Because of Saul's disobedience, God had Samuel anoint David, who remained loyal to Saul despite the latter's attempts to kill him. As this chapter of the story ends, Israel's king lies dead from suicide on the battlefield, and the nation is ready to turn to David. We have now arrived at a crucial point of transition for the nation. From our perspective, the transition seems sudden, but a closer look shows that it was lengthy. In fact, we could say that it took a couple of generations. In the process, the nation went from a divided people who focused on their tribal and local identities to the semblance of a unified state. The two books of Samuel were written at the end of this transition process. Their purpose was to show future generations the reason for having a king and how the people had rejected God in the process. As we will see over the next several chapters, however, the transition to a national unity was never completed because the nation was not unified in its worship of God. Up to this point, the nation had been led by judges and priests. Theologians call the type of government exercised during this period a theocracy. That is, one in which God was the ruler. The priests were God's intermediaries in internal affairs. As we saw earlier, their responsibilities included worship and sacrifice, but also should have included socioeconomic issues. Politically, each town or village ran its own affairs. When national issues arose, God raised up the judges, and less obviously prophets, who gave guidance and leadership for specific issues. Because the nation was never united spiritually, it was not really united politically either. From the time of Othniel on, the only time there was any semblance of unity was when outsiders oppressed various regions. Even then, the usual response was regional. We have also seen that the priesthood, the spiritual leadership, left much to be desired. As we begin the book of Samuel, we find that the priestly system was actually corrupt or had corrupt elements. It was into this situation that God intervened. Now, who wrote 1 and 2 Samuel? Our English Bibles, following the Hebrew, named these books after Samuel, who likely began the work of writing the narrative. Samuel's death, however, is recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 25, while the narrative continues on to cover the reign of David. Therefore, the final author must have lived at the time of Solomon or later, and the prophet Nathan is a likely candidate. The Septuagint calls these two books First and Second Kingdoms, or reigns. making the next two books, Third and Fourth Kingdoms. If the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we will pick this up and continue with it in the next episode. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for a good education in your holy word. What a privilege. And Lord, we thank you for our time together. Help us to learn your holy word together until you come. And Lord, we pray for those under the sound of my voice who don't know your Savior. Help them to hear the gospel now and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for their soul's salvation before it is eternally too late. Revive your Christian people. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. So, dear friend, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and you want to get to know him today, all you have to do is believe that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and you will be saved. For the Bible says in the book of Romans 10:9-13 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. Until next time, my beloved, please remember, the Word of God is the foundation to a successful life. May God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Covenant and the Cross, a survey of the Old and New Testaments. If you enjoy this podcast, please feel free to purchase a copy of the book that we are using, The Promise and the Blessing, by Dr. Michael A. Harbin. The book is available on our website for just $20. You can make your purchase today at covenantandcrosspodcast.com. Please feel free to subscribe, rate, and leave a comment about this podcast on iTunes. You can also listen to The Covenant and the Cross on SoundCloud, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, BlackBerry Podcast, and via podcasting apps on the Google Play Store and the Amazon App Store. God bless.
Forever preach to Jesus and